My advice would be if there was an entrepreneur, someone interested in being independent of a corporation or a professional services organization who wants to develop their own business, their own project, that they dive right in. And I think the way to do that, I think, is to identify a service that you may have some skills and interest in providing. And just starting simple and saying, okay, well, I can provide this service in return for tokens. So you could deploy a token contract onto the blockchain and create some of your own tokens, and you could issue those to people who would use those tokens to pay for your service.
That is Derek Myers, and this is episode 9 of the Blockchain Pro podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Blockchain Pro podcast. I'm Adriana Bellotti, and our guest today is Derek Myers. Derek is chairman of the West London Climate Change Commission and director of Beyond, an energy consultancy in the UK that helps businesses become more energy efficient. His experience with energy markets led him to launch the Zero Carbon Project. We met in London in the middle of a heat wave, and we talked about his experience as a business developer discovering blockchain, smart contracts, and tokens. Here we go.
Hi, Derek.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I'm enjoying this this hot European summer, as I guess you have been too.
Yes, 30 degrees in London. I never thought I would get that ever.
Well, they're talking about 36 degrees today.
Oh, it's only going to get better then.
That's right.
There's a beach outside in your business park, so you could go there and maybe play some volleyball later.
Absolutely, that's right. I'm never too far away from a beach, whether it's in Sydney or now here in London.
It's an office beach.
Yes. So we're in a business park here in London, and it's set up like a park, a very very nicely designed park. And then every Friday they have different outdoor entertainment, and this week it's a beach. So I'm looking forward to soaking up some sun tomorrow.
Nice, me too. So let's dive into it. Let's go back to how you started your professional career briefly, and up until the point before you discovered blockchain.
Sure. Okay. Well, I've been in professional services, software technology related now for 30 years. I initially started back in the 80s with the deregulation of international financial markets. So the Australian dollar had floated, and interest rates were being freed up around the world, and this deregulation ushered in a huge amount of innovation at that time. So I was working for Macquarie Bank for 4 or 5 years. I then did an MBA. I joined Accenture as a strategy consultant, and all of a sudden there was another revolution with electricity markets, and the electricity markets were deregulated, and consumers were allowed to switch from one electricity supplier to another. So they asked me to get involved, helping design the Australian electricity market, competitive electricity market, because of my background in financial markets. So they told me that we were going to be trading electricity, and I wasn't quite sure what that meant, because my understanding was electricity came out of a PowerPoint. But I managed to get my head around all of that, and I haven't really looked back. So back in the dot-com days, we're talking about almost 20 years ago now, again, that was another revolutionary period. And I left Accenture, and I set up my own business called Parex, which was the first online wholesale electricity market. And we sold that to the Dutch here in the UK. And I then took on a company called Buy Energy Online. And over the last 15 years, I've grown that business into Beyond, which is an energy and carbon consultancy here in the UK.
What does energy and carbon consultancy mean?
Well, we have over 600 clients, including some large ones such as JP Morgan, Capita, Knight Frank, View Cinemas, Salvation Army, Salford City Council. It's a big council area. So we help them buy their electricity and gas, but we also help them with energy efficiency and renewable energy and distributed energy. So, for instance, Dover Harbour, we've spent the last 18 months managing a program to introduce distributed renewable energy to their site, such as solar panels and batteries. We looked at tidal, but the economics of tidal didn't quite work out, plus some other innovations. So that's how Beyond helps our clients.
So Beyond started before this really big push for renewable energy? And how,
yes.
How has this transition happened? Because this is a big deal now, right?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, it was about several years ago that Beyond started getting involved in carbon emission reduction services using the latest technologies. Prior to that, it wasn't economic or commercial enough for our clients to be interested, but several years ago, solar panels started to become economic, supported by subsidies from government, mm-hmm. and also wind farms started to become economic, and there are also some other opportunities around biofuel at the time. So that's when also energy efficiency at the time started to move onto the regulatory radar, not necessarily from the boardroom, even though they could save cost. They weren't prioritizing it, but the regulators allowed companies like us to start selling energy efficiency services into our clients. So it's been over the last several years that we've been focused on reducing carbon emissions for our clients. Now, 18 months ago, as the chairman for West London's Climate Change Commission, we launched a strategy for West London. There were 4 points. One of them was reducing carbon emissions. The other one was introducing circular economy, which is basically using recycling waste. The third one was supporting smart, clean cities. And the fourth one was actually working with Imperial College to set up a clean tech cluster here in West London. So as part of the first initiative, the reducing carbon emissions, we actually set up a zero carbon project.
Okay.
for West London.
Already.
Yeah. So this was at the beginning of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around this time that the penny dropped for me with smart contracts.
Okay.
I was well aware of the distributed ledger and Bitcoin, but what really excited me was the idea of a smart contract. And it was software developers who'd cornered me and told me that I need to pay attention. And it was the idea of smart contracts working with digital currencies that really inspired me to, and the fact that we're also doing Zero Carbon Project for London inspired me to introduce a cryptocurrency element to the Zero Carbon Project and take the Zero Carbon Project global using the blockchain. So the idea was that we had this zero carbon market that actually delivered zero carbon energy cheaper than fossil fuels, but we also had an Energous Token Economy, which would be the real catalyst for change by rewarding energy consumers with Energous Tokens and making the Energous Tokens meaningful by capturing future utility because the energy suppliers had to use the tokens to pay the transaction fees. So that's what inspired me for Zero Carbon Project. And at the time, we had huge ambitions to introduce a new global digital currency backed by global energy usage. And we had great ambitions to advance democracy using a distributed, decentralized governance arrangements.
Using HED, what happened to your ambitions?
We met lawyers. Okay. We met solicitors. So we have the early white papers up until November last year, but then all of a sudden the scope of our project became a lot smaller, and that's the time that we engaged with regulatory reality.
So regulations around the globe are different, and then you have to tackle one small part at a time. Is that what's going to happen?
Well, we had a fantastic token economy, but it was a security token, no doubt. And towards the end of last year, it was way too early to be trying to introduce a securities token. So we worked with King & Wood Mallison, and they helped us narrow the scope of our Energous token so that it was a safe utility token. And it's interesting because going through that process, I gained a much better appreciation of utility tokens and their simple, elegant model.
So what's the difference between a utility token and a security token?
Sure. I think security tokens are going to be the huge market for cryptocurrency because you can take real-world assets and tokenize them.
And I think VCs are interested in security tokens.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's a whole lot of institutional investment on the sidelines waiting for clarity around the regulations. So there's an absolutely huge market, and I think conceptually securities token are a lot easier because you're adding value to the real world asset by being able to tokenize it and fractionalize it and make it a lot more efficient to be able to transact with. So and they won't be purely decentralized because they will be referenced to an underlying real world asset. But for me, it's utility tokens, which I think will be a smaller market, but I think a much more interesting market because there's an opportunity to truly decentralize, for true decentralization. And again, the utility token is all to do with the future utility. I won't say the word value because of the regulatory implications, but the future utility that consumers receive from a service.
So the benefit.
And tokenizing that future utility and adding more utility to the token by providing more services which can be paid for using the token. Mm-hmm. So the utility token economies for me are much more interesting, but also more challenging than the security tokens. Challenging when it comes to explaining them to the mainstream consumers and also implementing them and selling the services and explaining how, for instance, a token reward carries utility. I won't say is valuable because that has regulatory implications, but how a utility token carries utility and that makes the token meaningful from the holder's perspective because they can use it to purchase a service. And as the demand for that service increases, the demand for the token increases.
What advice would you have for someone that has a company that provides a service and is hearing about blockchain and want to understand how that fits into their business model, if it's their business model? Are there any resources or any type of information pool that you've used that you would advise them to look into?
Sure, sure. Well, I spent my first several months attending meetups in Sydney, learning more and more about blockchain and cryptocurrency, utility tokens, but also the way that smart contracts work and how they're developed. And it's a huge learning curve. What's really exciting about it is that the curve just gets steeper and steeper. So every week, Boki Poobah, he runs an Ethereum training session or seminar, and he has been fantastic, and I know that he's a well-valued member of the Sydney community, but he has seminars for beginners, he has seminars for intermediate and for advanced, and they're fantastic forums to talk about issues and learn about the blockchain and smart contracts and cryptocurrencies by that focus on the current issues. So that's the way that that I developed my understanding, and that's the way that I recommend anyone new to come into this, because it's a much more interesting way than reading about it. But obviously, there's also a lot of resources available there as well. That's probably the best way for people to learn in an interesting way. I think in Sydney it's the same in London. Every night there's some kind of meetup, and
yes, there is.
And there's always pizza and beer available too. So
it's a good way to get fat.
That's right.
And learn about blockchain.
Yeah.
And so you decided to do an ICO with the Zero Carbon Project. How has your journey been about learning about how to do an ICO? Because it's not an easy thing to do. People, maybe it was easy 2 years ago because there was a lot of people interested in proving the model and, you know, dipping their toes into it. But how is it now, and how hard it is to do it properly?
Sure. Well, like software developers, they like to learn by diving straight in and experimenting. I'm a business developer, but I like to develop my understanding in exactly the same way. That is, diving in and experimenting, and trying different things and learning by doing. My advice would be if there was an entrepreneur, someone interested in being independent of a corporation or a professional services organization who wants to develop their own business, their own project, that they dive right in. And I think that the way to do that, I think, is to identify a service that you may have some skills and interest in providing. And just starting simple and saying, okay, well, I can provide this service in return for tokens, so you could deploy a token contract onto the blockchain and create some of your own tokens, and you could issue those to people who would use those tokens to pay for your service. Now, sure, you might ask the question, but hold on. I would then need to sell those tokens that I'd received, that I'd created and now are receiving back. I'd need to be able to sell those tokens to be able to put food on my table. But that's where you start to add value into your tokens. And the value that you're adding into those tokens is the utility from the service that you're providing. So regulatory speaking, you're not adding value into your tokens. You're adding utility into the tokens. And the utility is the utility that consumers receive by using your service. Mm-hmm. So if you're providing this valuable service, and I can say a valuable service, if you're providing this valuable service in return for utility tokens, then people must be prepared to pay some fiat for these utility tokens in order to purchase your service. So that's a very easy and straightforward way for an entrepreneur or someone interested in entering business in an independent way. That's an easy way for them to kickstart, to bootstrap their blockchain business.
Mm-hmm.
And providing services is a nice way to earn tokens, because it's different to providing a product where you have to spend a lot of money to manufacture the product.
And how has your ICO journey been?
The ICO is progressing well. It's a barren landscape, the ICO market at the moment. So what we're doing is we're focusing on developing partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to announce last week we were admitted. We were listed with the Gibraltar Blockchain Exchange, and they provide a valuable distribution channel to their 20,000 users. So our public token sale will be run across their ICO platform, their token sale platform.
You don't have a date for that yet?
We haven't announced a date for that because it's not a good time to be running a public token sale.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's on holiday. It's too hot.
Well, in addition to that, the ICO market's pretty much dead at the moment. But saying that, we're okay with that because it reduces the amount of noise and it shakes out the quality. And we tend to be a more product development-focused company than a marketing company. So it gives us the chance to put our heads down and work on the software. So we're launching our zero carbon market in the UK in October, and that will also include deploying our smart contracts for our Energous token economy. So we have the public token sale, which will probably be after we launch the UK market.
Mm-hmm.
In the interim, we're focusing on our private pre-sale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going reasonably well. We're talking to we have a good pipeline of large crypto investors.
Okay.
But it's going to take several weeks until those discussions come to fruition. A few of those will become a cornerstone investor. And given the current market conditions, we're going to have to throw some equity in as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not too concerned about that. Our focus is to raise the funds so that we can use those to roll this zero carbon market out globally. And we're really excited about the innovations that we have in order to tackle climate change.
That's pretty cool.
Mm.
And will you be looking to hire what type of people once your investment round is finished? And what sort of talent would you be looking to hire?
Sure. The plan is to set operations up, build upon our current UK operation, where we have 30 energy and carbon consultants operating already.
Oh, you're going to need a bigger office.
There's still quite a bit of space here, but we'll probably only need another dozen people here in the UK.
Okay.
A mix of our software developers, but also marketing people. And we're also going to set up an operation in Australia. The idea is that we want to have a 24-hour operation, because the crypto market never sleeps.
Absolutely.
And having an operation in Australia and in London gives us that
12-hour difference.
That's right. So it gives us a 24-hour coverage, and we'll have shifts to be able to cover the 7 days a week. a big part of our plans is the US, and we also have plans to set up a smaller operation in the US. But once we've got the UK market up and operating in October, we're planning to launch the Australian market in early January or February next year. And then, subject to raising our funds, we'll then be rolling the market out through competitive electricity markets in Europe. And there are quite a few of those, Amsterdam, well, Netherlands, Germany, Spain, France, initially Italy. And then there are a few competitive electricity markets in the US, also Canada. And then there's also a competitive market in Japan. But we also have a market solution for regulated markets. And that's something that really excites me, especially building the crypto community, because you have a huge number of members from developing parts of the world. And I'm really interested in that, because this is talent that now has an outlet for their energies. I had a terrific start to the day today. Every day you receive 20 approaches from marketers. I responded to one this morning and got into a discussion. And it turns out to be someone from Venezuela, who's currently suffering 1,000,000% inflation. And crypto is his savior. He's been able to maintain some of his financial value by holding on to crypto, and that allows him to support his family. But a lot of people don't think about the damage that hyperinflation can inflict on a society.
I've lived that in Brazil 20, 30 years ago.
I'm now in a discussion with him. I've set him the challenge of sending us a proposal to explain how he can help us with social media. I hope we're able to make him an offer and get him on board in some way. I think that's one of the great benefits of crypto. It's not just being able to be a store of value in a market with hyperinflation, but it's this global crypto community and individuals with talent in these developing countries who are struggling. All of a sudden have a channel into a global talented community.
They can really be a part of change, and change can really be a part of their lives too. So it's like a good feedback loop. Okay, one last question. You know how everybody talks about how much energy the crypto market consumes, as in Bitcoin mining, all sorts of crypto mining? Have you thought about offering a solution?
Absolutely.
To miners?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So at the moment, we're assuming that Ethereum will successfully transition across to proof of stake. However, the timelines seem to be slipping a bit, which is a lot less energy intensive than the current proof of work approach. In the interim, we're going to buy carbon credits, international carbon credits. We're going to offset the carbon emissions that our transaction contribution to the Ethereum blockchain will create. Initially that will be fairly insignificant, but that's what we're going to do. Ethereum faces another big challenge, which is the scaling issue. Mm-hmm. And again, we're assuming they'll be able to overcome that challenge. Whether they're side chains or state channels, we're unsure which way we go. But our current thinking is the side channel side chain approaches. May look the best way forward. We've looked at our Energous token economy end-to-end transaction process. Mm-hmm. And there are some steps that don't really require fast speeds or scale, but there are some other steps that do. And it'll be those steps that require a scalable solution. which are to do with calculating the accrued rewards from consuming our zero carbon energy. So it's those steps that we would put onto the side chain. Now, there's another big challenge that Ethereum needs to overcome, which is it needs to be a decentralized blockchain. This is an issue that we're particularly interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that the current blockchains aren't providing satisfactory solutions to decentralization.
Mm-hmm.
We have some ideas which we'll be contributing, which is more to do with it's a non-technology solution. It's a community solution.
Mm-hmm.
We think that the ideal blockchain might have 10,000, 100,000 members who would validate the transactions, and the validation nodes should be tied to individual community members or people through a validated sovereign identity on the blockchain. So that creates some other scaling issues, but we think that those are solvable. But we're passionate about the concept of decentralization, the current blockchains software technologies have problems in those areas, and they'll need to find a solution.
Good luck.
But we believe it's a solvable problem.
That's awesome. Mm. Any final words of advice or any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think blockchain and cryptocurrencies and smart contracts really are a revolution, and I think it creates fantastic opportunities for people to claim back their independence. They may be working in corporates, or they may be working in professional services organisations, but want more autonomy, more freedom, and I think that the entire, not just the technology of blockchain and cryptocurrency, but the ideology of the community lends itself to this kind of person who can all of a sudden either become involved as software developers or business developers. And ultimately, it's all about decentralizing power and empowering people.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Derek. Let's go to the beach now.
Terrific. Thanks very much. And thanks for listening.
That was Derek Myers. You know, my favorite thing about the Zero Carbon Project is that it offers a right now solution for cleaner energy. It will take some time until green electricity production and supply takes over, and until then, offsetting is definitely a great alternative. I recommend you have a look at the project. For follow-up questions to Derek, you can reach him on LinkedIn and through the Zero Carbon Project website. I will put the links in the show notes. And as you know, you can reach me on LinkedIn, Adriana Bellotti, and Twitter at @abellotti. Our show has a new website, blockchainpropodcast.com. Please share it. I will be eternally grateful. If you have enjoyed this episode, I would love for you to take a minute and rate it or write a review. That really helps to get the show out there, and you will get a shout out at the next episode if you do. Woohoo! And I'm also going to be organizing a giveaway for a Blockchain Pro Podcast t-shirt, so stay tuned for that. Until then, have a good time, and I'll see you on the next block. Bye!